Welcome to the My Amazon Guy podcast. My name is Stephen Pope, and we are taking live questions today. We do this every Friday at noon. You can start writing your questions now if you'd like. I'm going to bring Sierra on screen here. Sierra, thanks for joining us. You've recently joined My Amazon Guy. We're going to have you help us out today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Sierra's a little nervous. We'll go easy on her. Sierra, go ahead and toss us our first question here and get it up on screen.
Okay. Our first question is from Emily Simberg. Does the honeymoon period start over when launching a different type of ad never utilized before?
All right. Thanks, Emily. So let's see if we can answer this one for you today. So basically, whenever you launch an item, when it's first new on Amazon, it goes into the system and it starts creating some triggers, right? And so what happens to an item that has never been in Amazon's system before? It starts to index. It starts to signal to Amazon, hey, pay attention to me, right? So like that's what the honeymoon period is all about. There's debate on like how long the honeymoon period lasts. Some say 10 days, others say a whole month. Nobody really knows for sure. But the reason why it's a topic of discussion is because what you can do during the first few days on a listing will help it leapfrog the other keywords. You'll be able to jump up in the SERPs much faster by having that done. And then your direct question is like, does the honeymoon period start over when launching a different type of ad never utilized before? And the answer to that is no, it does not. And that's because once a listing's already made, there's no restart to the honeymoon period. You can use a highly technical way to nuke a listing, like delete the photos, the listing, all the text to redo the honeymoon period, but we don't recommend that action unless it's like an extreme case where you're trying to, and it will delete all of your keyword rankings. So there's really no good effective way to reset keyword rankings or start a honeymoon period. So Emily, great question today. Really appreciate that. Do I still think Amazon attribution is broken? Yes, I do. And I think that it only really effectively works for Google AdWords. It definitely does not work for Facebook. I think it can track traffic pretty well, but beyond that, not so much. So great question on that one. All right, so Sierra, what do we got next?
From Marcel Gonzalez. Any suggestions for getting upgated in Adidas?
So ungating a select category like this is extremely difficult. You're going to need an invoice directly from Adidas. And so what I would say on this one is probably not a lot of good suggestions here unless you have a direct purchase order or invoice directly from Adidas. Don't think you're going to be able to get that one ungated otherwise. There's about 150, 200 brands that are gated within the Amazon ecosystem. And the reason they're gated is because there's usually knockoff issues. So if you've got a legitimate purchase order, you got a distribution agreement in place, that's the best way to get ungated in a category like that.
Our next question is from Anastasio Leoyu. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong.
Yeah, you can just read the first name or you can even just say Anna and keep it short, whatever works.
Okay. Hi, Stephen. What's your take on product inserts? I'm thinking of using a QR code on the package instead to pass the product's insert info to the customer.
So that's a great question. I would say product inserts are still a valid way to move forward with your products today. I would say that it's a little difficult for generating reviews now. Like you generally speaking don't want to ask for a review in a product insert. And so what do I mean by that? It's like, so when you have a product in its packaging, so I have some Halls on my desk here. And so if you were, let's say this was packaged with like a 3-pack or something. So maybe just throw like a card in, a business card or a card of some kind. That would be what we're talking about when we say product insert. And inside of that insert, it can give information. Maybe it has a QR code. Maybe it says, here's our warranty information or other information about the product, like how to use it, stuff like that. And so what you can't do is take people away from the Amazon ecosystem. Amazon doesn't like that. Now, have a problem with your order, give us a call at customer service. Hey, you need to make a return. Maybe you sell a clothing item. very common reason for having a need for a product insert. Those are the kinds of things and why you would do that. But in general, let's bring your question back up on here. So QR code on the package instead to pass the product insert info to the customer, I'd say that's completely fine. Go ahead and proceed with that. Very safe to do so. Just whatever you do, do not use any review request language right now. I think it's completely unsafe to request reviews on any product insert. We saw some people get in trouble, and they had to remove their inventory out of their own warehouse. So it is actually kind of pretty severe right now.
Emily says, is it possible to send too much traffic to a listing and cause low conversion resulting in poor relevancy?
So I would say this is a weird question to answer, because all traffic is generally perceived as good. But the reason why this question is a great one is because if you send too much traffic, could you actually cause conversion loss, which leads to ranking loss? So what I would say is that most likely not. Is it possible? Yes, it's a non-zero question on this one. But if I had a choice between doubling my traffic or doubling my conversion rate, I would pick doubling the traffic every single time, because probably more than double the traffic, doubling the traffic while maintaining the current conversion rate, just to be clarifying on my assessment there. But basically, if you have a lot of external traffic coming into a listing, there's almost no damage it can do for your keyword rankings. Like, you're going to have a lot of benefit from having that. And so definitely send more traffic, not less, when in doubt. But you're right. Could it cause a low conversion rate? So let's say you sent 1,000 people, not a single one of those 1,000 people bought something from you. Yeah, that could be a problem, right? So obviously you wouldn't want to do, you know, robots coming to a listing who would never purchase. Like, don't do that. But if you had 1,000 legitimate customers come to your listing and zero of them bought, but then they went and bought something else from Amazon, Amazon's still going to reward you. So I think when in doubt, have lots of traffic. I think that's a good question. All right, so what do we got for our next one here?
SCT. Let's say I'm sourcing a pasta kit, dried pasta from Italy and spatula and other items from China. How should I handle the assembling of the kit? Have everything shipped to China and do it there?
I think yes. Pretty easy yes on this. If the more work that you have done at the manufacturer level, I think the better. And so it's going to be very beneficial to have all of that done before it gets to you, because a lot of the kitting work is actually pretty complex, right? Like, the ability to have everything in one package from the get-go can be very, very beneficial. If you were to have all of these parts come from multiple manufacturers, you could use one manufacturer in China to kit them as well, right? So like, you have one manufacturer build the spatula, one build the kit, one have the actual dry pasta. If you ship them to one central location and do the kitting there, I think you're going to be better off. Now, that might be weird to go from Italy to China, kit it there, and then ship from China over to the States. But if I had to guess, it'd probably be cheaper. Now run the math, like get some quotes on this to validate it, because maybe the import tax for pasta is less from Italy than it is from China to the States. And you don't want to have to pay the import from Italy to China. There might be a sourcing expert who could weigh in on this in the comment section about this. I think it's a great question. But if you look at the kit being built in the United States, we already know that it's going to be at least like $1 for somebody to touch it, right? Like, it's going to cost at least $1 for somebody to take all of your items and kit them together. And that's if you use like a 3PL. And Amazon will not kit anything for you. So if you were to send in these items separately to Amazon, Amazon will not build these things together for you. You can create what's called a virtual bundle, but the whole point of creating the bundle is that you have it all in one package and it saves you on the shipping fees directly to the consumer, right? So like a starting cost to ship an item out of Amazon FBA is like $3.50. And so if you have three different items and they would have been $4 together, but you ship them out separately, you're looking at $10 for those three items. And so a virtual bundle will charge you as if you ship them individually. So that's why virtual bundles are insufficient for this question. And so if you ship them as a kit, you could save significant amounts of money on the shipping costs. In addition to that, it's hard to build kits, so it's a competitive advantage. When you have a competitive advantage, that means less people can enter the market and compete with you. And so that's why kits are generally a good idea. I don't recommend starting with kits as a first item. So if you're a new seller or a beginner, don't start with kits. This is something that you generally want to do after you've had a successful item and you're like, how can I make it better? How can I up my game? How can I take my $15 item and make a $25 item, a $30 item, so I have a higher margin? That's when kitting makes a lot of sense. So great question.
He also asked, any recommendation for a prep center in the U.S. that handles food items?
That is a very specific type of 3PL that you're going to want to do. I would say California is probably going to be your best friend. We see a lot of grocery related businesses over there. I would say that you may have to use somebody that has food grade warehousing, which is why you're looking for a prep center that handles food specifically. I don't have a specific 3PL I can name drop for you, but I would say that there definitely is somebody out there that does this. I guarantee that. And so if you can find, go through the Rolodex of 3PL businesses, and if you see a ton of grocery stuff on their website, you probably found the right one. But if I had to guess, this one's going to come from California.
From Brett, any suggestions on strategies to prevent Chinese black hat sellers from messing up your listings, such as keyword sabotage, creating your listing in other marketplaces and messing with it, et cetera?
This is a fantastic question. At this time, I don't think I actually know any defensive way to manage this. Or no way to prevent it from happening. We've dealt with this issue on more than 15 accounts since September. And basically what happens is somebody comes in Canada and loads to your listing something like heroin or a drug or something in the keywords that will trigger a removal or a yank from your listing. And that's obviously really, really bad, because then your listing goes down and then you're scrambling trying to figure out why the listing went down. And Amazon's like, well, you put drugs in your keywords, and you're like, no, I didn't. And then they're like, well, yes, you did. And here it is. What happened most likely is that these black hat members use somebody from Amazon's inside team to load to your own account. So the first thing you need to do is go look at your template uploads. If you see a template upload done on your account that you did not do, you have been hit by an insider at Amazon. So very odd topic. Yes, this is an actual thing. And no, Amazon has not really documented or commented on this at all. So it's kind of a big problem. Sierra, let's pull down the question after it's been up for just a minute if it's too large. So basically, with how to combat this, the steps to troubleshoot this is, number one, identify if there's been a template upload. Number two, talk to Amazon directly to get some information, call them and whatnot. See if you can find if there's like something that they've caught, because you may find out it's not Canada. You may find out it's a European country like German, for example. And then you're like, I don't even have a UK or German account, which can happen. And then the data has been loaded through the EU portal on your account in another location. And so how do you solve for this? So we have a current client right now who has a suspended EU account running through this exact scenario, and they can't make an edit in EU, and they've got hazmat not clearing in the United States and in Canada. And it's just a total, total mess. Amazon needs to fix this. I would first start with brand registry. File a ticket to make the update through brand registry. If that doesn't work, then the solution is to log in to the other country and do a product update ticket to correct it. Load the data physically in a template upload in the other country. And then after that, ask for the listing to be reinstated and try and protect yourself with that. But no, there's no proactive measure you can do at this time to prevent any of these things. The categories that got hit the most by this were grocery and beauty. Anything in those two categories were most affected. And by grocery, I actually need to extend that a little bit more. Supplements was the number one area. Anything consumable and topical. So if it goes on your body or in your body, those are the top two areas we saw these black hat tactics. So no 100% way to prevent your listing from being duplicated in another marketplace by a black hat, unfortunately. Not at all.
Nylon97 asks, I'm switching from a sole proprietorship to an LLC. I open a UPS mailbox for my business address. Will Amazon require documentation dash proof of address, or can I change it in SC? No problem.
So inside of Seller Central, you can make a change to your documentation at any point in time. The area that's usually most concerning is the bank information, not the tax information or the business address. I usually don't see any pushback on this question. I would say it's pretty safe to go and make the change, and it should go right through no problem. If you're worried about it, what you can do is before you make the change, just contact Amazon and say, hey, I'm about to make the change from X to Y. I just want to make sure that's okay. And then they'll say, yeah, it's okay. The number one thing with changing information is the bank account. Never ever change the bank account number within 3 days of an expected deposit. They will see that as your account being attacked, and they will lock the account and they will freeze it. The best time to change the bank account information is usually within 3 days after deposit, and you won't have any problems. And when you do make a change on a bank, I almost always do say ask for permission ahead of time just to make sure it's not a challenge. Don't know what Ivica is asking for there. We'll go to the next one. So big shipment. All right, won't come until May. With minimal PPC, I get 2 to 7 sales a day, ranking tanked with this, but at the same time, it would tank when out of stock. Should I go hard on PPC now? Absolutely. Definitely go hard on PPC right now if you can get the sales without stocking out. So if your item is not going to have any risk for stock out, then go ham. If you have a risk of stock out, then I don't see a point of going ham yet, because if you spend a bunch of money and then all of a sudden it's going to go out of stock, there's kind of no point. There is kind of some debate in the community right now with like whether it'd be better to go out of stock at a high velocity or go out of or try and maintain margin and profit and try and not go out of stock and just raise your prices. I default to the raise the price methodology. I'm a marketer. I prefer to have traffic and growth, but I think on that typical type of question, I tend to err on the side of margin and profit. And so I would raise the prices and not worry about it. So hopefully that answers your question. If not, feel free to ask a follow-up. All right, Sierra, let's go to the next one.
Cupcake Sprinkles asked, is there a catalog page in brand registry? VCCS told me to update my catalog in brand registry, but I've never seen a catalog in BR.
All right. So is there a catalog page in brand registry? Technically, no, not in the sense that you can edit it, but there is a team that evaluates and creates the edits on their catalog side. So there is actually 3 catalog versions of your listing, one that you can access, one that the retail team at Amazon accesses, or the catalog team, and then there's kind of like a third one, and this is speculation on my part on this third one, but I think that there's a third one where it just kind of collects every submission ever made. And so what happens is when a retail makes a contribution, it takes advantage over everybody else. Like, you will not see any information on that listing from you or from any other seller if the retail team has locked the listing. This happened a lot recently in the grocery category with the size attribute changes. They went in and cleaned it all up and tried to standardize all the sizing attributions. And if you were in that category and got hit by that, it could be very problematic. But back to the Vendor Central side, the VC side, they want you to update your catalog in the brand registry portal. What they're really trying to say is go make a ticket inside of the brand registry portal with the change that you want made. And what happened was is a few months ago, the ticketing UI changed in both Vendor Central and in Seller Central. And instead of making a product title edit inside of Seller Central, it's now superior to go over to the brand registry portal to make that change. So that's really what the translation there is, Cupcake Sprinkles. And I love that name, by the way. So thank you for doing that. Emily says, awesome, thanks. You're very welcome. Sierra, feel free to read those comments off when they come in too.
Okay. I don't want to get their name wrong.
It's okay.
Nobody's gonna judge us for the name. Dumb question. All my campaigns have very low impressions. I tried to increase the bid to $2 to $3. Still, the impressions is like 400 to 500 a day.
So the first thing I would look at on your listing, and if you feel comfortable sharing your ASIN in this live webinar today, feel free to do so. And I will take a look at the live listing page. But basically, there's probably a relevancy problem on your listing. So you may not have enough copy. You may not have relevant keywords that Amazon thinks are relevant to your product. I also don't know what category you're in. So if you're doing $2 or $3 bids and you're in the homes category, I have a little hiccup right now, then you have a high bid. But if you were in like supplements, a $2 or $3 bid wouldn't even get you an impression at all because bids are at like $5 in that category, or even in beauty or tech. So feel free to shed a little bit light on that. If you feel comfortable, share your ASIN. We'll take a live look at it. But by and large, you probably have a relevancy problem, would be my guess. Second to that, you said all of your campaigns have low impressions. So how many keywords are you using? Are you using manual and auto campaigns? Do you have all the segmentation types up? Are you using display ads? Are you using headline ads? Make sure you have every segmentation up, because maybe the one segmentation type that you're picking is just really competitive, but maybe some of the other ones would be less competitive. You get more impressions that way.
R asks, unless you're using a cash basis method, why would purchasing more inventory help lower the taxes you have to pay? Something you mentioned the other day.
So I'm not an accountant or CPA, but my understanding is if you don't spend cash, then you pay more taxes on it, right? So you're taking a profit at your company. And so in theory, if you had an extra $100,000 sitting around, you would pay a corporate tax rate of like 33%. So instead of paying $33,000 in tax in 2020, what you could have done is take that $33,000 or take the full $100,000 and buy your inventory for 2021 and get the money out the door. And by getting the money out the door in the tax year ahead of time, then you are saving yourself from that tax burden. So you're purposely overstocking, buying more stock than you need to basically shelter yourself against paying current taxes. So it's a little bit of a tax strategy. I also think there's some supply chain methodology behind this as well, specifically the ability to prevent stockouts, right? So like if you have a year's supply of stock right now and the next black swan event happens, maybe you sell air purifiers and there's a big wildfire in California, right? If you have a year's supply of those on hand, then you're going to be able to navigate to that black swan event. Another example, maybe there's a big, all of a sudden a really big craze because some sort of Netflix show came out, right? So we don't know every show that's coming out on Netflix, and all of a sudden they come out with one that's really heavy on chess. Well, for the guys that had chess boards in stock in the thousands, they took advantage of a big cultural craze, right? So that's why I suggest people be heavier on stock, whether it's a black swan event that is negative or positive. Having that extra stock on hand makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, it's challenging to do this. You have to have your own warehouse. You got to have your own 3PL or warehouse that will accept the excess goods, because you wouldn't want to ship this all into FBA. Doesn't work.
David has three questions here. He says, but I think it's not a good idea send purchase agreement here. I think better send purchase agreement exactly to supplier in Alibaba in chat, because can see their name, company, and other info and let him confirm everything, right? So if something goes wrong, I will have some proof for PayPal. Am I right?
So Alibaba does have some protection methods that will help protect your purchase agreement. And so if you're worried about you making a direct deal with the manufacturer and for them reneging on you, then yes, having a third party is helpful. I would agree with that. But what I would say is that having a direct relationship with the manufacturer has never been more important. And you know, the Chinese culture, which I don't claim to understand, but from what I do understand, they kind of want you to make friends with them on a really heavy communication basis before they want to do business with you. And so it does behoove you to call them up, talk to them in person, just like we talked with Dave yesterday in our live Q&A on sourcing. And so, you know, build a relationship with them so that you're not just having to rely upon a third party guarantee out of Alibaba, right? Like you're in this to make multiple purchase orders, not just a single purchase order coming in.
Yaro says, friend has listing selling 10 to 20 units a day, 350 reviews, rating 4.6, but it is so competitive now, so he only earns $1 per sale or less. Is there a way to reuse this listing anyhow, not just stopping it?
Yaro, I think the answer to that question is yes. So if you could change the listing or upgrade the listing, right? So maybe today it's a basketball, right? And maybe tomorrow it's a kit of sports items and it's a basketball, soccer ball, and football, right? Can you change the listing to become a kit? Absolutely. Very common to reuse UPCs, especially in the supplements business, because they change the ingredients and then they repackage something and they go to 2.0, 3.0 of an item. It's very appropriate. Now, how does Amazon view that? They're probably like, they used to probably be indifferent, and now they probably look at it a little bit more negatively. But by and large, you know, you've built the listing, you own it, it's your brand property, in my opinion. And I think you can do whatever you want with it. Now, would I take an item from like the tech category and 350 reviews in tech and then make a beauty item out of it? No, I think that's completely wrong, right? Like there's probably some ethics behind that that would be wrong. But if you're staying in the same item type and those reviews are, you know, something that would be helpful for somebody on the 2.0 version of your item, whether you make a kit upgrade or whether you improve the item somehow, then I think it's totally appropriate and safe.
The next question, R asks, it seems unbelievable that All-in-One would have to do is to nuke the listing, and that will restart the honeymoon period. Can you elaborate? It seems too simple to regain the ranking.
So what happens is you remove all the wording on the listing, like take the title down to like two or three words, and like the bullet points down to like one word, and zero description, zero A+ content. This actually does work. It's been tested by a few different Amazon experts in the space. And so what I would say is, you know, go in and only do this method if everything else fails, right? Like this is a very highly advanced method. And if your listing's already indexed for 1,000 keywords and you nuke the listing to reset the honeymoon period, you are taking away 1,000 keywords indexed. So the only reason why you would want to do this is if all of your other methods, like you spend a couple grand on PPC and it's just not going anywhere and you can't get the listing off the ground, and you want to reset it to basically try and go from, you know, a few hundred keywords to a few thousand and then do a very heavy launch and treat it like a brand new product, that's when somebody might benefit from doing this. But if you have an old listing that hasn't been sold on in a year or anything like that, this method's really not even necessary in those situations. Just relaunch the listing, spend heavy on PPC, optimize the heck out of it, make sure the title, the bullets, everything's in play, and you'll be just fine.
Lucho asks, can we reply to product reviews, especially the bad ones? I think the past you could, but now I can't figure it out. I've never had a product I own before, so I just Googled it.
So unfortunately, Lucho, you can no longer respond to product reviews. This was a change, I think, in the last 45 days. It's just one other mechanism that Amazon is taking away for customer interaction. Now, Amazon claimed that not many sellers use this function. And that's probably true from a percentage standpoint, but there were probably many, many sellers that responded to these negative reviews just to help the customer, right? Like, hey, you had a bad experience. No problem. Let me help you out. Like we back our item up. Now if you have like a 1-star review and it's like ranked up high in your listing and you can't even respond to it, kind of sucks as a brand owner. So I totally get it. But But great question, Lucio. Unfortunately, nothing you can do about it at this time.
Cupcake Sprinkles asks, we are branded manufacturers using GTIN UPCs. How can there be an alternate ASINs that someone else created using our UPC? How do they do that? Can we relist our own restricted product using a new ASINS?
So Cupcake Sprinkles, this is a fantastic question. It's come up so many times in the last month that we actually invited the GS1 to come onto our podcast. They will actually be on our next Friday's podcast. Sierra, make sure we market this because I think this is a big deal. Like we should like post a collection of all of these questions we're getting on this topic. Okay. What happened is this is my belief, and I actually told the GS1 I'm going to ask this question, right? So like I told them in advance, I'm like, hey, I got a tough question for you. Did the Chinese hack your database? I don't know the answer to that question, but I suspect they did, because all of the GS1 that have that conflict error are usually loaded to other Chinese seller items, and they've burned the UPCs. And so historically speaking, I have found it better to just buy in bulk cheap UPCs off eBay from any resource, and I've had no problems with those. I've only ever had problems with GS1 registered UPCs, and it's like totally not fair, not cool for you to do it the right way and then get burned when your ASIN, your UPC is assigned to another ASIN, like total garbage, right? I have so many clients that have experienced this, like more than 20 clients that have experienced this. And I've told them, I was like, hey, your entire batch of UPCs, it's burned. Like, it's not worth the time to try and fight Amazon on this. Go buy new UPCs. That's the true solution. Do not try and file tickets to update the product detail page. It is excruciatingly painful. It is cheaper and more effective to throw your UPCs away and buy them from another source. So I'm curious to hear what the GS1 will say next week. It's going to be Friday noon EST, and we'll see what they have to say about that complicated, tough situation. But my advice, just go buy different UPCs until we hear from them and see if they have a real solution.
Ari asks, what about using rebate key? Is it still allowed?
So I think any external rebate program at this time has a high risk. Amazon has put all of these programs onto lists. They know and they've seen the sort of customers that are buying these things, and they're not the kind of customers that Amazon wants, unfortunately. So would I personally use these programs on my accounts, or would I do it on behalf of my clients? I would not. Do I think it's black hat? No, I think it's probably somewhere in between. I think it's probably high risk, gray at this time. I've looked at these programs. I've used them on clients that ask, and we've tested it. But by and large, I think that the benefit of using them has diminished to the point where it's not worth doing. So, like you look at Viral Launch a year ago, they didn't use a rebate program. They actually used like a discount, and they changed their entire structure a year ago. So that's kind of a case example of what we saw. 3 or 4 years ago, you could see rebates given out and have highly successful review generation, you name it. All of those things used to happen. And today, if you use a rebate program or external traffic in a way that kind of games the system. And by the way, for those that don't know what a rebate program does, customer buys the item at full price, and then you on the back end pay them a direct payment, usually through a third party, the reimbursement for that item, often almost a full 100%. So you sell the item at a loss just to get an order in the door. So it's gaming the search algorithm. So techniques like this will work for a time, and then Amazon will patch them and they will stop working. So I would say Amazon is half patched this one, still works, but not quite effective and probably high risk.
The next question is from Brett. Any common reasons you are seeing accounts getting suspended that some of us may not be aware of? For example, I was reading about a FBM seller that was suspended for refunding buyers too much.
So I think at the end of the day, if you do what's in the best interest of the customer, you're less likely to be at risk for suspension, Brett. Does Amazon have a really bad history where they've suspended a bunch of accounts for unlogical reasons? Yes, I think they do. I think that the update that we saw in the last couple of months was a very positive one, where we saw Amazon basically say, we're not going to suspend an account without contacting you first. So we're now seeing Amazon contact you, let you know about the problem, give you a chance to create a POA in advance. I think I've only seen one account be suspended for variation abuse, and I put that in quotation marks because Amazon's parentage policy right now is kind of vague. And so a lot of competitors are reporting misuse of variations in parentage and trying to get Amazon to take your listings and separate them out, because if they get separated, the reviews may not recombine, which is a problem, and that's why people want to combine them. So that's probably the most least unknown potential thing that could happen. You can get suspended if you abuse parentages and variations, but by and large, I've only seen that happen one time. Selling items used as new, probably the most common issue, and usually it's not actually a used item. Usually it's just like a return that got put back on the shelf, and Amazon's at fault for that crap. But there's nothing really surprising, in my opinion, right now that people are being suspended for. Maybe specific things that they're being, like, not the whole account suspended, but like if you do review requests through email asks, they might suspend your email capacity, but not the whole account. It doesn't surprise me that if you have a high refund rate. So like if we were to look at, I actually might do a screen share on this one. So let me go over to account health, and I'll put this up on screen here momentarily. So share screen, video. I tried to do video file. Let me actually do share screen and go over here. So this is my Momster account. So anything that you see on the account health page is a potential area that you could be suspended for. So if your order defect is above 1%, they could suspend you for that. If your negative feedback is too high, they could suspend you for that. Policy compliance issues, if you've got too many IP issues, whether it's suspected, received, authenticity issues, safety issues, policy violations, any of those things, I would say are probably the highest risk for account suspension. And then if you have a lot of late shipments, you're gonna have a problem with that too. I'll be honest, Brett, I don't think I've ever seen one time somebody get suspended for refunding people too much. But that one might just be because they have too many people complaining about the item, and that could have been the real reason. But it doesn't surprise me that a lot of refunds would suggest to Amazon that there's a problem on the account that they want to look at. You're very welcome, Emily. Great, thank you. We might have to ban Ivanka. I think they're a bot. So all right, let's go next. All right, so I'll let you keep reading. I just have a habit. You might be on mute here. All right, unmute.
China customers is a nightmare getting imports into it, isn't it? A good idea unless you are based there.
I do not know anything about Chinese customs. There's probably many experts that could speak to this question. When I first started reading the kid in question, my brain immediately went to multiple Chinese manufacturers and then piling them together. You might be right that you may not want to ship from Italy into China. You kit your stuff there. You're probably right. That may not be the best idea. There are a lot of empty containers that are being shipped into China right now. So it might actually be cheap to ship stuff into China, but I don't know for sure.
Thomas K asks, are you aware of cases where products is displayed in top 100 or top 10 and then does not show at all 5 minutes later? And then few minutes later shows up again, same ZIP. Multiple sellers seem to be impacted.
So this is one I'd want to see to troubleshoot myself. This is not the first time I've heard about this kind of scenario. I don't think I have any ideas on how to troubleshoot this one. My initial thought would be if there's multiple sellers of the same item, maybe the buy box is rotating to a geographic issue. Like maybe one guy's got seller fulfilled prime, another guy's got just regular fulfilled by merchant, and a third guy's got FBA. And maybe that could affect the geolocation rankings. But you mentioned in your comment there that it was all the same zip code. So it's kind of really peculiar. I would definitely run some tests on that. I would open up my browser in incognito. I would try and find three or four friends down the road from me to troubleshoot this as well and document it and see how many things they have, like what the ranking is on their side too. So I think you're gonna have to do some data gathering on this one. I do not think there's any sort of Amazon ticket you could file to gain any info on this one. I think this is gonna have to be your own sleeves rolled up to figure it out.
Thomas also asked, in case of customers asking for a refund for consumable items, say a kitchen sponge, would they still have to return the products or can they get a refund without actually returning them?
Great question. I think, Thomas, they can definitely get a refund without returning the item. No problem. It makes a lot of sense to do returnless refunds. There actually might be a setting inside Seller Central that allows for returnless refunds. This was a big push probably 3 years ago, actually. And so I think it'd be totally fine to see that happen. I think that's appropriate. I think it's pretty standard these days. And most marketplaces will allow it just fine.
Next question from Eldar M. Is ManyChat SFB still a good method for reviews as well as rankings in 2021, or Amazon is lot clearer now? It could lead to suspension.
So I would say I think that ManyChat went through a really big change in January of 2020, so over a year ago, where they changed a lot of their policies. Ever since then, I've personally viewed ManyChat as less valuable. I do think that there are a lot of companies that swear by it and are having good results. Back in September of 2020, I documented what I think is a hidden algorithm update where Amazon penalized a lot of search, find, buy users. And I know this because there was so many outpouring of problems. Like my contact form was just completely lit up. And so at My Amazon Guy, we get about 20 contact forms a day. And that's actually a kind of a lot. And if anybody has ever wants to get in touch with us, you can go over to myamazonguy.com and you can contact us whether you want to grow your sales, solve a problem. But when you fill out this form to solve a problem, of course, I'm using Firefox and it's breaking, right? So nice. Let's go over to contact us. So over here, you can see the email. I think Firefox is the only form that breaks my contact form. I keep trying to fix it. So in here, if you just put your name and information and whatnot. So back in September, we had a tremendous outpouring of people contacting us left and right. And so when I started to figure out like connecting the dots, it was all directly related to search, find, buy. So if you are doing search, find, buy, I do think it's a high risk activity right now. If you do like onesie twosies, Bradley Sutton over at Helium 10 still recommends doing like onesie twosies, like one or two a day when you first launch in the first couple of weeks and then turn it off. I think that's fine. But if you were trying to do like 30 or 40 a day, I guarantee that's a bad idea. And that you'll probably have some indexing problems. When you first launch, it'll probably work and you'll be like, oh, Stephen Pope, he got that thing wrong, right? Like that My Amazon guy, he doesn't know jack crap. And my rankings are through the roof. And then like a month later, or 3 weeks later, you're going to see your complete indexing revoked and then your item will die. Like that's what I typically saw from that. So I don't recommend search, find, buy in mass right now. I think ManyChat's fine by itself if used correctly, but I wouldn't use it for search, find, buy in mass.
Joe asks, I accidentally used a previous shipment shipping labels. The shipment was received but never got credit for the units. Both shipments went to same fulfillment center and same account of unit.
So Joe, you are SOL on this one. There is no recourse opportunity here. But what I would say is you should ask Amazon and ticket them to do an audit or a bin check on the inventory and go ahead and send them the information that you mentioned. And they should be able to prove that you're telling the truth because the items should exist. The problem is they probably already closed the shipment and took away that information. So I don't think you're going to have a positive outcome on your situation. It's unfortunate they use the same labels, but basically you have no written backup to prove the situation. Like the tracking numbers were already burned. The check-in was already done. And so as far as Amazon's going to be concerned, you're in the hole, right? Like you're in WH hole, right? Like you've been made whole. The items are checked in. So I think you're going to have a negative outcome on that situation, unfortunately. One other question that I typically get to as it relates to shipping labels, can I still use shipping labels on a deleted shipment? And while I don't recommend it, we tend to do it on occasion, especially with the SKU shipping restrictions we had in the last year. You can also ship in on a deleted listing, a deleted shipment, and it will check in probably just fine. Kind of weird.
Manzar asks, is SKAG's campaign structure a good idea for Amazon PPC? What campaign structure would you recommend that helps to build, track, and optimize auto and manual PPC campaigns?
So single keyword ad groups are definitely a thing right now. I do recommend them, but it's very hard to do them at scale. This is why you typically have to run template sheet uploads, macros, and or hire an expert like my Amazon guy or a PPC software like Ad Badger or Helium 10. I'm big fans of both of those. And generally speaking, our team is able to beat the robots at overall sales growth, but we lose to the robots on efficiency. So if you use an automated PPC tool, you will be able to do bulk updates, bulk campaigns, and lots of campaigns. And that's why I'm having this conversation. Without doing bulk sheets or macros or a PPC automated tool, you will struggle to keep up with all the campaigns. So I would say that this is a variable question depending on the scale of where you're at with your business right now. If you're under 15, 20,000 a month in sales, I don't think you need to run 100 campaigns. Should you run one or two single word campaigns? I would test it for sure. Heck yeah. Because what generally happens is, like, let's say you're selling tweezers, right? Let's say, you know, you want to have that keyword tweezer always be on and never be out of budget. Well, in that case, having its own campaign makes a lot of sense, right? You're defending turf. So if you had 100 keywords in a single word campaign, you probably wouldn't see, you'd see a negligible impact to that kind of technique. But if you had some core keywords put into their own, their keyword isolation, if you will, you're going to have a lot of success from that. Pretty confident. there's a lot of strategy behind this question. There's a lot of segmentation conversations to be had with managing your advertising. And so I guess from a high level, the principal statement that I would give you is, always segment as much as you possibly can while maintaining the same level of monitoring, auditing, and management of your campaigns. So if you scale to a point where you're no longer monitoring your bids, then you've gone too far. And making too many campaigns can cause that kind of pressure or stress. That might be when you bring in the PPC experts to manage it on your behalf. And we do offer, by the way, PPC management services at my Amazon guy, if you only want to hire us for advertising management. So that is something we do offer if you're curious. You can check us out at myamazonguy.com and click on ads. All right, so we got an ASIN to look at today. So I'm going to pull this up on Amazon and let's see if I can type this in. So B08TKR32YD. Let's check it out. All right, so let's see. I'm going to guess it's this one. Did I type this in wrong? I typed it in wrong. So sorry. Let's try that again. Here we go. Smart dimmer plug. All right. So first of all, the fact that we can find the listing by typing in the ASIN, that's a good sign. That means it's not suppressed. That means the listing is not suppressed. So any of you on this watching today, I highly recommend take your best seller item right now. Go type it into Amazon with the ASIN. Make sure it comes up. And the reason I say do this is because hidden suppressions are really common right now. And there's no tool to check for them other than a manual search yourself. So it's a good 30-second thing to do today for joining us. All right, so we're going to take a look at this listing. Sierra, feel free to put on screen the question they asked earlier to take a look at the listing. And I think it was related to, you know, why is this listing not getting the advertising? So we're going to look for relevancy. So there is a ton of information on this page. But one of the problems I do see is there may not be enough copy because, well, I'll take that back a little bit. There's, well, kind of a lot of copy, but this particular image has a lot of copy that's would have been good SEO, but it's in an image format. So I would probably redo this in a copy format because it's too copy heavy. Something like this where you just got like a couple words on an image, I think that's just fine. But I wouldn't put too much copy into a listing. All right, so this is Tien's listing, fully optimized. It has all the images. It has a video, which means you probably have a brand store. You do. And you got a good sold by name. You got lots of bullet copy. You even have 10 reviews. Let's look at the reviews. Only 1 2-star. Let's look at the 2-star review. Very hard to connect to Alexa. All right. So not a whole lot of indication on why this listing would have an issue. So I'm going to open up a new browser. And I'm going to pull up this in Chrome. I do all of my keyword tools in Chrome. And I'm going to go over to Cerebro. I really like Helium 10. Big fan of it. And I think they have some of the best tools. So the product is indexing for 1,700 keywords and you're advertising for 800. Pretty much everything I've looked at so far, Tien, tells me you're doing this correctly. I see no problems, no red flags. You have the ratio that I like to look for on a keyword, sponsored keywords to organic. It's right around 50%, and that's good. That means that you're advertising on the appropriate number of keywords. The thing that I think I'm going to conclude on you, I think your bids are too low for a tech product. I think that's the number one problem. So if you were to look at the bid averages, I bet you they're pretty high. And that probably is the number one challenge. So if we look at your sponsored rank, we might be able to ascertain that while we're looking at this. So you're in rank one for these keywords, which are actually pretty relevant. Wi-Fi outlet. Let's take a look at this. Is this a Wi-Fi outlet? Yeah, it kind of looks like it to me. So you are getting the positions with the advertising. Let's look at some keywords that you're not getting the sponsor rank for. So like Google Home Max, USB outlet plugin. So like either one of two things has happened with these keywords. Either you're not bidding high enough on these or they're not relevant on the listing. So for example, if I go control F this and say Google Home, actually it is relevant. It's right smack dab in the title. So I wasn't expecting that. That's why I looked for the search term. So that one's a relevant term, but maybe it's not high enough bid. So I guess in conclusion on this one, in my reading, it's probably most likely a bidding issue and not a listing relevancy issue, as far as I can tell.
The next question, I think it's Andre's. Does it make sense to have both Vendor Central and Seller Central for one brand in case the product portfolio will be 80% the same? What are your thoughts on combining both models?
I would say I prefer Seller Central by a 100-to-1 ratio. I really dislike Vendor Central. And I think that people should be on Seller Central over Vendor Central for a variety of reasons, including the fact of contract control, pricing control, and the shipping process. The only time I think VC wins out on Seller Central is on margin for a very specific use case. And that is if your item is under $15, I think Vendor Central is 100% the way to go. Not in all, I'll back that up a little bit. Let's go $10, 100% under $10. There's probably some gray area between the 10 and 15 mark. And that's because they buy it at wholesale price from you at a point where you can guarantee your profit. And then the shipping costs and the margin aren't a problem. Outside of that one use case, the other use case potentially might be if you're a corporation and you have a wide distribution network. The larger your distribution network, the more Vendor Central makes sense because of buy box control issues. Should you have both at the same time? Many people at Amazon claim you can't have both a vendor and a Seller Central account at the same time. I know that's false because I have several clients that have it and have never had an issue. So can you maintain it? Yes. Should you? I don't really know why you would want to have both unless you're primarily Vendor Central and you're using Seller Central as a backup just to keep things stocked. If that's what you're doing, then probably makes sense. We got a lot of questions in queue here. We're running a little short on time, so I'm going to go ahead and kind of shotgun some of these. So how to fix stranded inventory and negative voice of customers. This is a loaded question with many, many paths on it. And so, and see, I love how we're testing out the new question types here. This is fun. And so I would say the number one thing you could do is go subscribe to our stranded inventory videos. Too difficult to answer that succinctly. And if you can't figure it out on your own, this is the number one coaching service that we offer at My Amazon Guy. Just go to myamazonguy.com and click on book a coaching call. We have several different coaches, and Saban is our catalog troubleshooter. So you got a suppressed listing. This is the guy to talk to. We also offer end-to-end listing yank service for $1,000. Any listing yank, we can pretty much fix it for you. Although we don't guarantee it technically, we have a lot of success with it. So you can see our listing reinstatement service here. All right, we'll keep going here. How to raise the IPI score. Don't ship too much stuff into Amazon. Keep your turn rates high. Make sure you're turning inventory over every 2 to 3 months on every item you ship in. So that means ship less in more often. I like to keep a 2 month supply at Amazon, but if you have inventory over 2 months supply, your IPI is going to be hurt. You need to hit a 450 right now. That's the score to hit at this time. It is very difficult to raise your IPI score. It will take 3 to 6 months. If you're under 450 at either both the middle of the quarter and the end of the quarter, then you will not have unlimited storage going into the next quarter. Masomi asks, hi, where is the P&L, the one I need to take to my CPA? That is inside of Seller Central. Don't share the screen quite yet. You're going to go over into Reports, Payments. Go ahead and share the screen now. And in here, you can go over to the All Statement View. And in here, if you run a report for the All Statement View, you can select the time period and generate a report to give them for the full year. If you give that P&L to your CPA, you'll be in great shape. AJ asks, when signing up for the EU account, they are asking for a company registration number. Is this number my EIN number or the number of my business license or some other number? I believe it is the EIN for the EU. To be honest, it's very rare for me to open up an EU account, and so I'm not 100% on this question. AJ, if somebody in the comment section wants to weigh in, the guy that would know this answer is the owner of Maximizing E-Commerce, Kevin, and I may tap him on this one. Sierra, feel free to send him an email or a note or tag him somehow to answer that question. I know that guy would know the answer for sure. Somi says, where is the Amazon profit calculator on Seller Central? So there's an FBA calculator, if that's what you're talking about. Simply just Google FBA calculator. It should come up. And you need a tool that is more in depth than this to calculate real-time profit. I would recommend Helium 10 Seller Legend or Profit Legend. I'm butchering the name on the last one. But there's a way to do that. Inside of the FBA calculator here, you can type in your ASIN, put in your shipping costs, your COGS, and do a one-off calculation, but that's all that's going to be good for. It will not give you your profit per SKU in real time. You need an API third-party tool to do that. Spending on inventory is only tax beneficial on a case-backs basis accounting. All right, good information. If you are an accounting expert, I will take your word for it. Cupcake Sprinkles, we are vendor manufacturers thinking about doing a listing of 2-packs. Another seller already made the 2-pack ASINs with our products. They did a good job. Do we make a new ASIN or use the ones they started? I would use the ones they started for sure. And then just show up and try and hopefully take over the buy box. PPC bids are getting so expensive in some categories. What is your opinion? PPC strategy tailored to only rank better for keywords and ignore ACOS, or does PPC help rank for keywords on page one? It absolutely does. PPC has about a 6% keyword ranking factor. Compare that to 40% on organic orders and organic conversion rate. So significantly smaller impact as of the A9 update from Amazon. And that update went live about a year or a year and a half ago. I don't know for sure off the top of my head. But in any case, yes, PPC should be done for key search terms, but not all of them. It can be quite expensive. I would run a general ACOS goal across the account, and then I would portfolio an SEO campaign separate from your ACOS goals to keep you ranked for your PPC terms on SEO. Joe Shaw, adjust the focus, please. It's on the mic stand, not you. That is a problem. I agree with that. Thank you, Joe. May have to play with that after. Andre says, could you elaborate on your last video about the honeymoon? Is it too late to set the launch date when I'm waiting for the first shipment and the listing is inactive out of stock? I don't think it's too late. Go ahead and do it. No problem at all. There's a 15-minute video that I did on the honeymoon period. Put a lot of thoughts into that. We'll link it in our comment section if Sierra, if you can get that linked. R. Glassier says, would you recommend as far as rebate key, et cetera, or seller chatbot to gain keyword rankings? Are there any issues with suspensions using these? I don't think there's any account suspension issues. I do think there are keyword ranking issues as discussed earlier. So scroll to the other timestamp where we talk about that one. Kevin says, hey, I'm trying to upload A-plus content and the preview is blurry. I'm not sure why my images are the right ratio and high quality. Is there something I'm missing? I get this question once a month without fail for the last 3 years. I do not know why Amazon has not fixed this at this point. There is no known solution. And it has nothing to do with how you're loading it, your format file, I forget all the acronyms and the technical terms, but DPI, I think, is the one. It has nothing to do with you. You're doing everything fine, Kevin. No problem on your side. What I can say is just keep trying to load it until it works. But literally, if you contact Amazon, they won't know how to solve this. I am still looking for a solution to this problem. If anybody knows the solution to this problem, please weigh in on the comment section. I want to hear from you, because I get this question every month. Andrew says, is it possible Amazon does not attribute sales to ad campaigns? I have low conversion on ads, maybe 10 or 15%, supposedly 40% on unit session. Andrew, I've got this question 3 times in the last 45 days. I have started to do some tentative research. I haven't gone full-blown in-depth on it at this stage, but I think you're right. Based on the fact that I get this question, I kind of look at myself as like the taxi driver of Amazon. Right, like I don't actually have any insider information, but once a few people get in my taxi and go to the same location, I kind of make some assertions, and this is causing that assertion right now because so many people have asked this question. I'm pretty sure you're right. So I don't have a solution on this one. Is it concerning? Probably not. Nothing you really need to do about it. But when in doubt, when you have a high conversion rate, spend more on ads. That's generally a true statement. All right, so what are your thoughts on drop shipping on big box retailers like Home Depot, Target, Lowe's? What would be the business value add? I would say if you're trying to do a drop ship model, I'm not the guy to follow. We have a lot of good techniques, but drop shipping is not one of them. We're more about brand building. But if you are going to sell your Amazon FBA items on another platform, then yes, that's a viable avenue of revenue. Andrew says, I get a lot of supposedly organic sales despite not being on the front page for almost any keywords. Andrew, I would say look up your indexing on a tool like Helium 10 Cerebro and just see how many keywords you're indexing for. You'd be surprised, probably indexing for more than you think. And if you are ranking for more than 1,000 keywords, then you're ready for phase two of SEO, where I like to call it the pink word update. And that's where you take out any of your title words and put it into the search term field in the back end. And then phase three is all about strike zone. Once you have 50 keywords in the strike zone between ranks 20 through 50, you're ready for phase three of my, what we call phase three of my Amazon guy SEO. And that's where you will put very specific keywords from your strike zone into your title, bullets, A-plus content, A alt plus text, all that good stuff, and try and rank it further. So Andrew, you may want to check out some SEO strategies, but you're probably doing better than you think based on that comment. Lucho says, next Steven, someone hijacked my bundle when I ran out of stock, so I deactivated by stripping all comments and changed the title to building blocks, named it, and placed a fake picture with building blocks. That is awful, really awful to go through that. Number one thing I'd ask you, do you have brand registry? If you don't have brand registry on that listing, then that is the problem. If you have brand registry, then you need to submit tickets in brand registry to correct the issue and do a template upload to fix the listing. It will probably help it out quite a bit. Talal says, I was waiting for your live video. Woohoo. Thank you. David says, make 300 plus, send 100 plus units because 100 units cost not much for shipping. Start making first sales and another 200 units by C. Actually, I think that's great advice, David. Good advice there. Anthony says, brand registry won't merge duplicate ASINs from rogue sellers into the main ASIN citing registered brand. We are the agent. Are there any other ways to merge the listings or delist rogue duplicate ASINs? Yes. You can do what's called a trademark infringement takedown on the rogue ASINs. Those will go through 100% of the time. I guarantee it. If you haven't watched my video on brand registry infringement takedowns, that's the video for you, Anthony. CRC, if you can track that one down. And basically, that's what I would go for. Now, on the merger tickets, there is a lot of pushback on mergers right now, Anthony. But what I would say is if you show them a picture of your item, a link to your manufacturer, and push them repeatedly in the ticket and say, this is the same item, we're the brand registered user, merge, 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 they will eventually acquiesce to you. So you'll get it to go through. Cupcake Sprinkle says, is it a benefit or a detriment to link ASINs that have 500 or 1,000 high star, 4-star reviews? I actually don't understand this question to link those reviews. Yeah, honestly, Cupcake Sprinkles, I'm not sure what you're asking there. Ultra says, in the interview of verification for seller registration in the USA, is enough to expand to Europe and Japan? I do not know. I would guess yes. This is a relatively new program. If you opened up a global account, you probably only need to verify one time. So I would suspect yes. Andrew says, are there any rules about sellers having multiple nearly identical items, superficial differences like woodlock versus solid color as different parentages? A competitor is monopolizing the first page. Yes, there is. I don't know how to find that policy guide, but if you are selling the same item and calling it two different things, that is definitely against policy. It's also a bad customer service experience when somebody searches these things. Is it a technique I recommend? To be honest, we actually kind of engage in it from time to time. I wouldn't call it black hat. I would just say it's definitely against policy. So if you find somebody doing that and you report them, I guarantee they will take action. It just may take a lot of reports. But there is a policy against that, yes. Joe says, I sell wholesale at Amazon Takedown and ASIN, stating it was restricted. It never appeared on performance notifications or account health dashboard. I can't call account health, but not getting answers. This is a common thing I've been seeing of late. You should have gotten an email. It never got triggered. That's a problem. Don't know how to help you gather information, but when you contact Amazon, they might have some information inside of it. So Joe, you would probably benefit from a coaching call with Saban on our coaching staff. I would definitely give that one a whirl or hire us for the listing reinstatement. We are experts on this question, tracking down the stuff. Please feel free to go over to our coaching page and select Saban there. All right. Don't even know why it's restricted. Only body weight scale. Probably a keyword caused it, Joe, most likely. Or it might be a black hat takedown. Could be any of those. So hard to troubleshoot that without seeing it. Tian says, thank you very much for looking at my ASIN. You're right about tech products having very high PPC, high return rate, low margin. Time to shift. Frowny face. I mean, it's possible. It's just really hard. Really hard category. Man says, do you think Amazon shipment restrictions will be removed soon? So I do, actually. Everybody I talk to has a very favorable view about this. And I'm looking at my clock and it's like 3:12, March 12th. I'm surprised it's not done already. I really am. I did make a question video about a month ago where I asked, is Amazon going to restrict, remove these? And I was like, it's not, I was pretty pessimistic a month ago. I'm more optimistic now. I think by end of March, they'll remove it from 200 and go to 1,000. But at the same time, I am hearing a lot of news about Amazon being out of space at FBA. We're also seeing a lot of space at 3PLs out of space. So until everybody has room to put stuff, it wouldn't surprise me. We got some links in here from the honeymoon period. Got a bunch of different links. Feel free to check those out. All right, next question. Ultra says, is the interview of a verification for seller account registration in the USA enough to expand? Where do you got that one? I think it is, but not sure. Drago says, if you have a parent ASIN with two child listings with a number of reviews, for example, 500, you had another child listing on this parent, the new one will have 500 reviews. Dragos, first of all, I think your name is awesome. Because it sounds like a dragon. And what I would say is the secondary childs no longer have a guarantee from Amazon to have a combining review on them anymore. Unfortunately, it's actually a new policy. Reviews will typically not combine any longer. Do they still combine in some categories? Yes. If you're in a category where your reviews are not combining, but somebody else in your category's reviews are combining, it's likely because their parentage predates the change. And if you file a ticket and say they got a bad parentage, you might be able to get them taken down and then they rebuild it and the reviews will not combine. I have seen a lot of that. You know, be nice to other fellow sellers by all means. But yes, that is a thing. Man says, do you think Amazon shipping restrictions remove? Oh, we already did that one. Mikhail says, hi, Steven. Is it true that only the first 1,000 characters indexed from bullet points Some bullets allow to use 500 characters, but it means the only two bullet keywords will not be fully indexed. I do not have an official answer on this one. I do not know the official policy, but I will say this. All copy helps, period. All copy helps indexing. And I know this because Amazon claims they don't index certain things. And I know they do because I put Spanish behind one keyword alt text of a listing and it totally indexed for that. We're wrapping up here in a couple minutes. Got a few more questions. If you want to get those questions in fast before I lose my voice, feel free. Cupcake Sprinkle says, by linking ASINs, I mean creating parentage. Does the parentage offer an advantage to ASINs that have more than 500 or 1,000 four-star reviews? I would say yes. Yes, it does. The reason why you want to have things parented together is to all ships rise together, child variation theory, and be able to have more reviews in one location. Big time help on conversion rates. The downside of having these parentages is they have no indexing isolation. So if you have five items on a listing and they're all parented together and you are selling the heck out of them, let's say all five items are $100,000 a month by themselves, I would not parent those five listings together, most likely, because you have enough orders on the listing, you could potentially show up five times in the search results instead of the one time that a single parentage would. Nice job, Sierra. Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it, Brett. Shout out to you, Sierra.
Thank you. We missed this one, so I decided to repost it. Dr. Kaz says, hey, Mag, here is my ASIN. It's the number. I have 300 reviews. Want to pump it to 1,000. Feel free to critique it and let's rock.
All right. This is going to be the last ASIN review we will do today. I'll pull it up on screen here, see what I can find. Keep the question up. B076S6KBP2. All right, let's take a look. So car, vehicle, aircraft, carbon, monoxide CO detector. Pretty cool gadget here. 300 reviews. Want to pump it to 1,000. How do we critique and rock this thing? All right, so first thing first, your secondary images has no people. You got a hand. That's cool. So is this only for people who paint their nails? Who's the target demographic of this item? I have no idea based on seeing the images. What you need is within 5 seconds. The video that you need to watch next is my video on market polarization. Very controversial topic, if I had to guess. And I'm going to tell you in that video, go profile your customers. Do exactly the opposite of what society is doing right now and document the heck out of the specific customer. So you need to know who the age, what kind of magazine this person reads, male, female, what's their age, are they married, have they been divorced 3 times? You need to know everything about them to try and figure out more information about this item. I think the title and the bullet points are optimized. They're good to go. Obviously, great reviews. That's good. Let's go to the A-plus content. No A-plus content. Oh, you're asking for a review without A-plus content? You need to go buy A-plus content immediately, Dr. Kaz. Go to myamazonguy.com. Click on the services. Go to design. A-plus content right here. Most important thing that you could do for your listing right now. Nothing else could even come close to this. Get A-plus content. All of these cool designs that you see will help your listing take it to the next level. These guys, these Chirp listings right here, they're the number one bestseller in yoga foam wedges. We helped them get that. They were just on Shark Tank a couple months ago. And A-plus content was the key to their success. You can see all this information in there. That helps your indexing so, so much. All right. Lucha says, awesome session. Thank you. You're very welcome. Man says, can you advise what would be the best option selling in the UK, EU, and doing 1 mil net profit per year? Got an offer from an aggregator for 5x and 2-year profit share, or should I launch in the US then sell it? Wow, that is a good question. That is a really tough question. So I would say if you got a 5x multiple, that's incredible. That's beating the averages right now. And a 2-year profit share on top of that, that's a pretty good offer. That's going to be a hard offer to walk away from. Launching in the US could absolutely grow you further, no doubt about that. So the question is where do you want to be in 5 years from now? Do you want to be running a small empire or do you want to go be on a beach? If you are passionate about your items and you're not ready to turn it in, then I would say go grow in the United States. If you are ready to sell, we have a ton of information, and this is pertinent information for anybody. You can go over to AmazonAggregators.com. We have a link to every aggregator in the entire market. And if you trust us, like I hope you do, if you trust us, want us to introduce you to any particular aggregator, you can give us your info and we will figure out the best aggregator based on your category. So you get the highest offer. Again, I think your 5X offer is pretty dang good. Going to be a hard one to walk away from if you don't take it. But you know, big aggregator, number one in class, Thrasio by any stretch. But there's a lot of smaller, just getting started aggregators on this list. We know who they are, how much money they've raised. We've done a ton of research and intel on them, trying to keep up with everything. And the question is, do what you think is going to be passionate about. So like, I'm extremely passionate about Amazon, right? I love Amazon. But if you're in the part of your day where you're in a big grind right now, maybe selling is the way to go. Definitely a lot of cash entering the space right now. Andrew, thanks, Stephen and Sierra. You're very welcome. And Sierra with a C, believe it or not. We'll pull her up on screen here. Let's see. Can we get your name to show? I can't tell. There we go. Sierra with a C. Appreciate your help. Sorry I had to do a jet run. We had so many questions today to get to them all. All right. So we got last three questions. Then we are done today. Please comment on how we should take care of our listings. How often to check rankings, hero rankings. What should we do if we're losing ranking? That is a very lengthy conversation. I should probably make a video just on that topic. Sierra, let's write that down to do like a half hour video on that topic. I would say, in short, make sure you're always growing, sessions going up, keyword rankings going up. Track your keywords in a tool like Helium 10. If you haven't tracked your keywords, that's the answer to your question today. And that'll be very beneficial. Always be growing is my default policy. Andrew says, for your A-plus content service, how much copy images do we need to provide? Whatever you got, anything you've got. We'll fill it in with stock photos. Obviously, if you have some good photos, that'll be a better listing. But if you don't, we'll fill in the gaps for you. No problem. Masomi says, thank you so much. That is our My Amazon Guy podcast. I want to bring Sierra back on here. Sierra, thank you for being comfortable on camera with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on camera today.
So Sierra joined us to run our social media. She will be helping monitor things. We are scaling to a point of no return right now. We have so much going on. Our message on YouTube, all the things that we're doing is scaling very quickly right now. And I would not be able to manage all of this without Sierra. So thanks for coming and joining our team.
Thank you.
All right. After watching today's video, we have linked to several other videos you need to go watch. Sierra is going to work on adding some timestamps. If you're watching this in the replay, you can click on whatever question makes sense for you. You want to hear about it. If you want to hear more, you want to write a question, you couldn't make the live session, you're watching this in the replay, leave a question and we will answer it in the comment section, or come next Friday at noon EST and we will answer it for you. Next Friday, the GS1 team is joining us. Ask any UPC question ever about the GS1. We will answer that on the next Friday session. I'm a really big fan of my market polarization video. Sierra, let's make sure we get that linked if we haven't done that already. That's the video you guys should watch after watching our live session today. My name is Stephen Pope. I am the founder of My Amazon Guy. This is the live Q&A session weekly, Fridays at noon, every Friday without fail. Thanks so much for watching. That's the end of our broadcast.